Well, good evening, family. How are you doing today? Good. Well, do you know, David and I have often dreamed of coming east. And this is really a dream come true for us. This is our first trip to Asia. I'm in America or Canada or Europe every 3-4 weeks. So the air miles are there, but I've always jumped on planes and gone south or west. And I've felt the gap. I felt the Asia gap in me, that I needed to come and be with you and learn from you, learn how you think, learn how you pray, learn how you read scripture, so that you might be iron sharpening us in Scotland and in Ireland. And so for me, this is a real treat. And I thank you for your invitation, because prophets are, prophets are a bit strange. I get that. And we're just quite annoying. So just grace, grace. And the job of the prophet is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So you get to decide where you are at the end, my lovelies, okay? And what my job tonight is to do is I'm just pure prophet. This morning you saw some teaching, but I was sat with the Lord just saying, God, show me what you feel and think about Singapore. And so my words are the best that I can do to bring revelation. And although they always come out of a prophet quite strongly, we do humbly lay them at your feet for you to weigh and for you to test the word of the Lord. So the deal is, I do my bit if you do your bit, okay? Do we have a deal? Excellent. All right. So let's begin. Oh, Jesus, you are king on the throne. You are the ruler of all. You are the great, mighty way maker. You are the lily of the valley, the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. And we come before your throne and we say together, oh, magnify the Lord, that your greatness might be seen in the nations, that your saving power might be known in the people groups of the earth. For we say, you and you alone, you and you alone, you and you alone are the worthy God who were slain for the sins of the world. You and you alone are the worthy God to take the scroll and to break the seal. And we give you the first place. And we say, God, come and write your words on our hearts. And we rip our chest cavities open that you might speak to us, for you are the God who desires truth in our innermost parts. Oh God, the worst thing would be that you leave us as you find us. Oh God, that would be devastating. So God, we cry like blind Bartimaeus, oh son of David, do not pass us by, but come and bring your ways and your words to us afresh. So the Lord started to fly me back over your history. And I felt like I was over this landmass hundreds of years ago, before your nation was even founded. And I wept over your land as I saw a history where you were rejected, where you were ill thought of, where you were subjugated, where there was a sense of just not caring about the people over the centuries, that in some way this piece of soil was dispensable with. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I turned and I saw them and I smiled over them. He said, you were a land that knew rejection and poverty, a people who had been humbled in your history, but I chose to step in and bless you. He says, Singapore, I have championed you and I have put my favor upon you. Can I tell you how rare that is in the nations of the world? that is not normal. And the Lord said this, good news, Singapore. I want you to grasp that. He says, good news, Singapore. He says, my hand of favor is not lifting. My hand of favor is still on you, and my hand of favor is determined to rest with you for some years to come. But he says, I will require of you a deep, fresh partnership with my Holy Spirit. For I am issuing a summons in the Spirit to you today. For the Lord says, I have need of what I have given you, and I have need of how I have made you, and I have need of the qualities put by me into the people of this land. And I heard the Lord just go through the scriptures to Zechariah 2 verse 5, where the Lord made a statement like he did around the walls of Jerusalem. And he said this, O Singapore, I myself will be a wall of fire around you, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory within you. And the Lord says, I have put a wall of fire around. And then the Lord said this, it will afford you some protection from the coming shakings that the world is about to face. The Lord says, you know you are an international resource center. You know you are an international center of entrepreneurship. The Lord says, I have given you some of the best abilities that the world has seen for strategy and solution. He said, but there is one missing thing I need you to contend for. He says, I am asking you to put back into your hearts compassion. He says, I'm asking you to reach up and pull down into your nation a kindness, an empathy, a humanity, and a tenderness that represents me in Matthew 14, 14, where it said Jesus was moved by compassion. And the Lord says this, my compassion is hovering above your atmosphere, but is not yet fully come to rest. My ability to feel. And the Lord says this, my job with you in the next few months is to share with you my heart, and you will hit a deep move of my heart, and a long-standing numbness will be removed. And the Lord says, I will deal with your emotional repression that you might be those who are moved as I am moved. And the Lord said this, he says, I am looking and I am asking you to partner your resourcing and your strategy and your solutions and your entrepreneurial greatness with my spirit and with my compassion, that my kingdom might be even more advanced in the areas I have given you authority. And the Lord spoke over Singapore, and he spoke this word into the atmosphere, and he said, strategy with compassion, strategy with compassion. And he said, I will walk you through a heart motivation change if you will contend for it in the next 3 months in fasting and prayer. For I want you to be a nation in the image of John the Beloved, who in John chapter 13 knew what it was to lay his head on the breast of Jesus Christ and to work with the heart of his Savior. And the Lord says this, if you will contend, if you will fast, and if you will pray for compassion to collide with your already established anointings, the Lord says, I will enable some remarkable things to happen. Now, what you're hearing now is most prophetic words, very few prophetic words, sit in the category of promise, where God just says, I'll do it just because I'll do it because I'll do it. Yep. Most prophetic words in scripture have a conditionality around them. They have a sense of, look, this is what my part is and this is what your part is. And so the Lord is giving you a part to reweave back into you his compassion. And then watch what the outcome is. The Lord took me into the spirit. And when I was above your map, you looked like a red dot to me. And I saw a long red winged dragon, like a dragon snake, wrapped around the nation so tightly several times that it looked like it was the demonic grip that held this landmass. But from above, it looked like a red dot. And as the Lord took me in closer to it, he let me hear what that demonic entity was saying. And you know that the Word of God says you got to know the wiles of the enemy. Yes. So you should be able to know what is going on with the enemy so that you can be a good kingdom strategist. And the Lord let me hear. And the demon's major decree was just three words. But he was saying it over and over. And he said this, Singapore is mine. And there was a desire to have ownership. Now we know the demons are not allowed to own anything, but there was a desire to say, Singapore is mine. And then the demon went on to say this, I trained them to only look after themselves. That was the word of the demonic. I have trained them to only look after themselves. And the Lord then said to me, that demon's desire is that you would not mirror the kingdom, but that you would be self-serving. And of course, self-serving always ends up with an empire spirit because it's building for the kingdoms of the world rather than for the kingdom of God. And then the Lord said something so kind. He said, tell them that this demon will not be hard to deal with. Hallelujah, God, because nobody wants an ugly fight, do they? The Lord said this, you have already prayed so much in the land that you have weakened the demonic forces in the atmosphere. And the Lord says, as you develop a partnership with my compassion, you will have a new why. Why do I do this? Why do I build in this way? Why do I trade like I do? Why do I have the solutions that I have? The Lord says, I will give you a new why in my compassion and in a new partnership with my heart. And the Lord says, within 2 years, you will become a very different nation. And this demonic, long-standing, strong man that made you a wee red dot will flee from your shores. And you will have such a shadowing effect on the nation that you will be thought of differently. Now, when you read Matthew 16, it's Jesus and the disciples. You know the story. They're in Caesarea Philippi, and they're standing at the gate. Anybody been to Caesarea Philippi? Wave at me, yes. And you know it was seen as the earthly gates of hell where Baal entered and left the underworld. And so Jesus takes his disciples, who you know are mainly teenage boys, and they stand in the most sinful place that earth had to offer at that time, in the most corrupt environment, the most corrupt place on all of the planet at that point in history. And he takes them there and he says this to them, you know, who do you say that I am? And they say, well, you're Christ. And Jesus, of course, says, well, it wasn't revealed to you by anything other than the Spirit. And then you know that Jesus says this to them, I will build my church or my ecclesia or ecclesia, depending on your pronunciation. And the whole concept of I will build my legislative governing assembly is implied in that word ecclesia. Now, you know this well. Why am I telling you that? Because we honor, you know, economics and education and politics and finance. We honor all of those things. But the Lord has put a governmental spirit onto his own people, and that the government from his own people shadows territory and shadows atmospheres. And so the Lord is saying this to you, as your solution capabilities and as your entrepreneurial capabilities are fused with his compassion, he said, you will have a shadowing of the atmosphere impact, that though you may not talk to everybody or reach everybody, you will hold the atmosphere with solutionary compassion that will make this nation almost unrecognizable. And the Spirit of the Lord then said to me, he said, tell them that the angel of harvest that they contended for so long has entered Singaporean atmosphere. And the Spirit of the Lord says, announce the day of the arrival, not the coming, but the arrival of the angels of harvest, says the Lord, on your shores. And the Spirit of the Lord says, harvest for you is not a future plan. Harvest for you is not a small cascade. The Spirit of the Lord says, decree harvest is now. Shoo. And the Spirit of the Lord says, the business people are going to start to find Jesus in huge numbers as kingdom purpose is revealed to them and motivations on this soil will change. And the Spirit of the Lord says, you will have so many following Christ that you will need whole new discipleship models to raise them into maturity, says the Lord. And the Lord says, even now I am dropping blueprints into the room and dreams into your hearts, for the angel of harvest stands in the midst of the auditorium and he is giving out blueprints. And the Lord says, if your heart will say yes, you will have a sudden knowing and a sudden understanding of how to look after that harvest and how to haul it in, says the Lord. And then the Lord said this to me. He said, in the coming short years, the world's military will once again want to pass by your shores in greater number. And war will be nearby you, and you will become central and crucial in the Third World War. And the Lord says, you have been used this way by other nations before. But this time, rather than you just being a port or being used, the Lord says this, I am putting into you, Singapore, the strength. You just need to breathe in and hear this. I am giving you, says the Lord, the strength to dictate how the nations will behave in coming war. The Lord says, I am giving to you not just negotiation, but I'm giving you wisdom and diplomacy and strength to set international terms of behavior, says the Lord. And the Lord says, you will mean what you say, and you will say what you mean. And just as Elijah set the terms on Mount Carmel, you will set the terms, and you will tell the nations how to behave. The Lord says, I have purposed that you will become the world's negotiators in international crisis and war. The Lord says, I am giving you the strength to push back violence and to demand the terms of engagement. And the Lord says, you have thought that this may be your portion, but you lacked the anointing to punch at this level. And the Lord says, you see, prophets come and we decree things and they drop into atmospheres because of Amos chapter 3. The Lord says this, now over the nation of Singapore, the anointing drops into you for negotiation and for strength to set terms. And the Lord says, the nations will heed and obey your strong words, for strong negotiation capability is now yours. And the Lord says, the mantle is descending, and I will put words in your mouth, and you will speak to other nations, and you will express to them acceptable behavior. And the Lord said, first, before the fullness of that, because we're not quite there in our timings, the Lord says this, and I'm actually quite apprehensive to tell you this because it's so positive. Because these are weighty words. Actually, they're words of great blessing and great responsibility. But when you get words of great blessing and great responsibility, I actually shudder more, if that makes sense. And I heard the Lord say, glory move, glory move. And I had to sit with the Lord and say, are you sure? Are you sure, God? Because surely the sovereign Lord does no good thing without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. I'm quoting Amos chapter 3 to you. So here it goes. The Lord says, I will bless your economy extravagantly. And I said, aren't they already? And the Lord says, no, I will bless your economy extravagantly. And I started to see money and finances and resources move, particularly from the West. And then I saw them pile up from the north and the south and the east. And then the Lord lifted some other cities up before me, and he paralleled them alongside Singapore. And he said, other cities have tried to become you, but they will flounder and they will not reach your heights. For they have tried to copy and steal your international position. But I will release unusual weather events to hold back their fullness, says the Lord. And then the Lord said, remember Deuteronomy 8, where I give you the ability to produce wealth. The Lord says, I am reminding you that I have given you that, and now will come in the doubling. And the Lord said, doubling. And I said, surely that is too much for one nation to bear. And the Lord said, it will be a doubling. But the Lord says, you will become the center on the earth for kingdom solutions. He said, you will be moved by Jesus' heart. And he said, know this. He says, the enemy is equipped to give glory. You'll know that at the temptation, the enemy offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world, what? And their glory, yes? It wasn't just about possession. It was a demonic glory. And the Lord says this. He says, I will give you my glory, and because your treasures will be from my glory and not from the glory of the world, they will come with a weight, a kabod. And the Lord says, so Singapore, you are about to see a turnover of CEOs and business leaders who will be exposed and who will hit the Ananias and Sapphira moments as my glory comes for wealth production and rests on those. Some will not be able to bear the weight, But those who have contended and fasted for my compassion will be able to bear this weight. The door is my compassion, says the Lord. You will have an extreme turnover, says the Lord, of leadership, and you are about to enter days where this will make this land feel very shaken. But it will be my holiness and not a demonic chaos. The Lord says, do not miss the two things up. You will feel shaken, says the Lord, as I set people in place. And then the Lord said this, it is a time to sell what you should not have bought. It is a time, says the Lord, to give repentance offerings, to get back into the giving cycle and rhythm that God requires of you. Why? So that you can bear the glory that he is asking you to hold. And then I heard a word collided together that I never thought I would hear. And he said this, I have chosen you to be my glory economy. Glory economy. I've never even thought those two words could live together. Glory economy. And he said, Singapore, you will have the economy and values of my kingdom. Singapore, you have come to the day of bearing great weight. And you will set the tone for the world. And the Lord said, I will give you immediate solutions. You already have solutions that you already know about. But the Lord says there's a purification of water for other continents that will come to you at speed. He says, I am putting into your medical facilities the breakthrough for the plagues of the world. And remember in Mark's gospel when it says, these signs shall follow those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons and so on. And one of those phrases of what follows believers is that they will heal leprosy. And the Lord says that is symbolic of the world's plagues. And the Lord says, you are going to have the solutions to the world's plagues. And that means a cancer breakthrough, which is one of the world's plagues, is going to come from these shores. And the Lord says this, but I will give you a new industry of satellite and surveillance and spy technology that you will know the plans that man has around the world for evil. And you will have listening technology and you will have the ability to hold other nations to account. For on this land, I am putting my kingdom nobility, says the Lord. Now, when we read Ephesians 6, the great spiritual warfare chapter, you see the hierarchy, principalities, powers, spiritual forces, and wickedness. So we understand that Satan in Ephesians 6 has a hierarchical structure of darkness. Yes, levels of different authority. So the big demon players we call principalities and powers, lesser ones, spiritual forces and wickedness. But you also see in Colossians 1 that God has a similar hierarchical kingdom of authority. But his are slightly differently named. So in Colossians 1, you get Jesus Christ, thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. So we're always looking at either a demonic hierarchy coming over a place, or we're looking at a Colossians 1 kingdom hierarchy coming over a place. Nod and smile at me. Yes, you've read those verses. Yes, three of you have. Marvelous. Okay. So in the Colossians 1, what I want to say to you is that obviously in the hierarchy of God, you get Jesus Christ and then you get his kingdom and then life and freedom in Christ and church in the ecclesia and God serving and taking godly responsibility. But in the kingdoms of this world, the Ephesians 6 concepts of principalities and powers, you get Antichrist, Yes, fairly obviously. And then opposite kingdom, you get empire, death, the desire for personal liberty rather than freedom in Christ. You get religion, you get self-serving, and you get self-betterment. And self-betterment is opposite to taking divine responsibility. And why do I put the two kingdoms like that, or the Antichrist empire and the kingdom of God, the Colossians 1 versus the Ephesians 6? Because Jesus hates the empire spirit. Jesus hates empire. Jesus hates everything that does not allow over here the fullness of his kingdom to grow. And we are in the days, I think, and you're going to hear this, where great glory is coming. I've clearly told you God talks about a glory move here, and he talks about glory economics here. But you've got to understand in all of this that God will always be, because he is holy, furious with anything that is what he considers empire, as the Bible would define that to be. And so in all of this, what I believe we are going to see in the wider world, if I put your Singaporean word into more international context, I believe that we are in the 24th year, 2024, of a 50-year reset of the world, where the church and the nations and the international order is being shaken by God. That we've had dress rehearsals of COVID, of shaking, or entry level early tremors to shaking. And of course, in 2000, you had the shaking of some of the banking issues. But we are not done with international worldwide shaking. And we are entering a greater clash of civilizations, great battles over political ideology. Now hear me, we are watching the rise and the fall of world empires. We are looking at church splits. We are looking at World War III. We are looking at war on every continent. Now I don't really like to be too doom and gloom, and you've had a lot of positive things said, but you got to know on the international stage that we are in the most perilous and precarious of times in human history. And we are dealing with the days of dangerous tribal rhetoric and civil war. The spirit of civil war is already on some nation's shores. Why? Why? It's not just because God is in a bad mood. You have to be able to answer the why question. And the Lord says this, because the church and my people became their own empire around the world. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I'm having to deal with the empire spirit in my own people and their love of themselves more than their love of my kingdom. And so the Lord is shaking the nations. He is shaking the churches. He is shaking the people. Why? Because he wants everybody to be disillusioned with anything that is the kingdom of this world. He wants to shake worldly glory, and he wants to shake worldly systems. And that means we are meeting the ferocity, but the beautiful kindness of God, that we might have shaken out of ourselves everything that is not the fullness of the kingdom of God. And we are slapping into the mercy and the kindness of God, who in his loving ferocity has put us into a 50-year worldwide reset. And then the Lord said this finally to Singapore. He said this. He said, oh, my favored people, you are about to hit a domino of salvation and a domino of souls. And he says this, I am beginning an Asian move. And he said, I want you to tip north, and I want you to build into the north. And then the Lord said, I have been planning a greater move of my spirit in the Asian nations than even you had yet had an eye to see. And the Lord took me up to the throne room and he showed me the world maps. And all of this part of the world was pulsating under the glory of God. And the brightness of his glory was so great that I could hardly even open my eyes to look at the maps in heavens. For he says, Asia, Asia, you will set the tone for the world to follow. Asia, you will rule the world for the next epoch of time. Come on, you got to lead us. You have got to lead us. You have got to lead us in Scotland and in Ireland. You have got to take your place as leaders. And the Lord says, Singapore, it is the day where you contend to marry wisdom and to marry compassion together. For I will give you the ability to keep Asia in time. And I will give you an understanding of how to say the words to bring governance to her boundaries. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you believe that the Issachar mantle for the prophets had gone to the West, particularly even to the USA, that Issachar capability to set diaries, to set timings, to set seasons, to bear the burdens of the rhythms of timings for the earth had come from the West to shadow you. And I am here to tell you this, that the Spirit of the Lord says, I have lifted that Issachar anointing. And the Lord says, I have hovered it over your shores for quite a while, but it has not landed. And the Spirit of the Lord says the Issachar mantle is coming to Singapore, and it is the spiritual clock and the spiritual timings for the nations of the world. And the Spirit of the Lord says you will understand how to set the rhythms of timing, but the Lord says you will have to ask for the strength to bear the burden of Issachar. For the Lord says, I charge you, Singapore, to keep the world in time and to keep the boundaries of the seasons in place. And the Spirit of the Lord said, there is a timing right now that I am setting in you and I am putting in the midst of you, that you will not be in delay, you will not be ahead, you will not be behind, but you will know what needs done in every epoch of time. For the Spirit of the Lord says, the epoch of time when Asia and Singapore dictate the terms has now begun, says the Lord. Can you stand so that I can pray for you? If ever a people needed to run into holiness, if ever a people needed to smile at the favor of God and do both at the same time, it's you. International leadership, my friends, it's not a game and it's not shallow waters. I'm an Issachar prophet. I understand rhythms and timings, and particularly burden bearing. So this is my prayer, and you can just open your hands to partner with me as I pray. Father, you called them Issachar. You called them Issachar. And Issachar bears burdens. And so, oh my Singaporean family, I release to your shoulders the ability to bear the burdens. I release to you the strength of God to be able to bear the burdens of the next epoch of time. I release what the Lord is saying, a 25-year strength. A 25-year strength. strength. The strength that a Caleb knew to still cry in his latter years to give me my mountain. The strength that a Samson knew even in the dark places to bring the roof down where there needed to be that action. I release to you the strength of the Issachar prophets who knew what it was to stand even like a Daniel did in hostile rooms and be protected in bringing what God wanted said. I release to you, O Singaporean church, that sort of magnitude of strength, that you would not be kowtowed or bent low in shame, that you would not be bent down in the wrong ways, in the false sense of weakness. But I release to you leadership, and I release to you strength, and I release to you perseverance, and I release to you stamina to stand in the place that God has for this nation. And as we loose these words over these shores, I speak you out of your stuck place. I speak you out of your repetitive place. I speak you out of your in-between liminal space. And in the name of Jesus, we begin a new day. We begin a new day, and we speak glory kingdom economics to be your burden to bear in the earth. Now let's put our hands in our hearts, because so much of that word was that all your solutions, whatever sort, have got to be moved by kingdom compassion and not empire for myself. And it is in this that your territorial demon flies. This is how you dethrone any demonic force. God, I want my heart to beat in sync with your compassion. Oh God, I want every part of me to move with solutions that are compassion orientated, compassion and strategy for the lost, for the littlest, for the least, for the uneducated, compassion and strategy. God, put in my heart compassion and strategy, for I have lost it, God, for I have lost that sense of how you are moved, and I've been moved, Father God, only for myself and only for my own betterment. I've run at the pace of your world and not moved with compassion as Jesus was over cities and regions and territories, and as Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh God, give us that sort of remit over nations, that over whole territories our heart might move rather than just over one or two or a family or something small. God, give us what Christ knew of weeping with compassion over territories and regions. Oh God, put that back in your Singaporean church. And just as I hand the mic back, just look at me, my lovelies. I want to talk to you honestly as a European woman. We've lost our way in Europe. We've lost so much identity. And maybe it's the consequence of our own national sin. We've lost what it is to take responsibility in my nation. And we don't have great apostolic weight in Scotland. It's really devoid of that. I can speak for Scotland, where I live. And it's a joy for me to come here and feel an apostolic people. It's a joy to come and stand in a room of strategists and solutionaries. It's a joy to come and feel the entrepreneurial gifting. Can I give you this warning from history? We in Scotland squandered what we had on ourselves. And actually, we are walking out sin consequences. We're walking out in our land the justice of God. We are. And so in many senses, we need you to rescue us. We've come to the end of what Western theology can teach us. Seriously, we have. We've come to the end of understanding even how to well educate ourselves. And I feel like my coming here is to say what perhaps only a Westerner, give me grace for that. I don't think I necessarily like being that, but that's what I am. As a Western European Celtic warrior woman, hear me. Pick up the leadership mantle. It's a crown. If you don't take this crown, it's a Psalm 8 crown. Do you remember in Psalm 8, the Lord says, I crown you. Yes, glory and honor. You do not want to come to heaven. You do not want to come before the throne of God and say, I didn't pick up my crown, so I've got nothing to throw at your feet. Now, you may well throw that crown down. Please do when you get there. It's a top tip. You will cast your crowns down at the feet of Christ. But if you don't wear it, you have not taken the leadership, nobility, royal role that I need you to take, that the world needs you to take, and that the Third World War needs you to take. And it cannot just be done by one leader, as amazing as your leadership is here. Rarely have we seen a husband and wife team as able and as humble. But what I need you to be able to do in the next few weeks is you dissect this word and you think it through and you pray it through, because it will take that, is that you take it with the ability to say, God, I might not like it and I might not feel comfortable with it, but I will take the burden of the crown of kingdom nobility for leadership in the nations. That is your homework. The compassion in your heart and the taking of international leadership responsibility. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the treasures that you grew in them, for the tests they have passed, and the character that you formed in them. And I bless you. I bless you to be Issachar. I bless your heart and your mind to bear the nobility of kingdom leadership. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.